Magic and hyper-reality, this time on Culture File with Curtis Hickman, a visionary VR artist and creative director of The Void, a VR-powered experience with a sensory side, dropping visitors into the worlds of Star Wars or Ghostbusters and letting them do battle with the likes of the latter's Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man via VR headsets and a physical maze. Some of the keys to storytelling in VR, according to Hickman, who's also a consultant for showmen such as David Copperfield, lie in good old-fashioned legerdemain. Hickman's work has a strong influence on the psychedelic research, as we heard from recently on Culture File, so reporter Louise McMahon began by asking him how his VR storytelling...
Hey, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
...might fit into that speculative area.
My question would be, is how well can you help direct the psychedelic experience? Because I feel like at that point, you're probably giving a little more of the illusion over to the individual's mind and losing a bit of that directorial ability yourself. In the book, I talk a lot about how it's a partnership, which is to say we're story building. You're going to build the story with me, the author, and together we're going to do this. So I'm going to create this Star Wars world.
This is Mon Mothma.
That acts as the sandbox that you are in, that
I
you
have an assignment.
I use story affordances to direct yourself through, and together we build a story. So the goal isn't for me to tell you a story, neither is the goal for you to like tell me what the story should be. Like, at what level of adding in psychedelics would that shift sort of that balance away from that partnership until it's sort of just the person going off on their own journey, and all of a sudden the side of things that stabilizes that journey starts to lose cohesion, you know?
You must work together.
Odriar, yeah. He's written a lot on hyperreality, and that's hyperreality is one word without a dash. It is this idea of simulacra, or the concept that you can make a copy of something that doesn't exist. You know, and when you really dig into it, there's some really fascinating philosophical and very high-minded things that go into simulacra and hyperreality and the world we live in and how fake it all is, which is great and fascinating. Not really what I'm going for, of course, with The Void, but there is a parallel there that I thought was striking. So instead of using hyperreality without the dash, we put the dash in there to try to differentiate it and to align it a little bit more with virtual reality and those sort of things. You know, The Void was never that big, but people would come out and ask us, like, how many stories is that? Or how big exactly was that? They felt like they would travel a long way, and technically they did.
This could be a threat to our entire existence.
But they were just doing it in these little loops.
Hyperreality, The Art of Designing Impossible Experiences, is a book I wrote during the pandemic when I figured The Void was done for, and I didn't like the idea of all this awesome knowledge just disappearing. In the early days of The Void, which was a company I started with Ken Brettschneider and James Jensen, James had this idea of like, hey, what if we made VR more immersive? Ken and I and James sort of built upon that idea. But at the core of it was always like, let's not just make VR and then send people to places they could go in real life. Let's use VR as a tool to take people to places that they could never go and to do things they could never do. Like fighting the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I try to tell you, you ain't ready. Have you ever seen a man that'll freaking die? Gave his life for a dream.
Seems, and it seems like, well, I mean, that's a normal thing. I get it. You would do that in VR. But the VR is the tool. It's really about making people feel like it's actually happening. Like, I want to feel like I'm there. I wanted that Star Trek holodeck. And that's what hyperreality represents. When it came to Ghostbusters, I needed a writer. And so the first thing I did was hire my father, who is a 14 times New York Times bestselling author. I recommend The Deathgate Cycle or Dragonlance, all very good books. But he's also a game designer, particularly well knowledgeable in Dungeons & Dragons, and was kind of one of the early old school guys that made that game the classic that it is. So he and I worked on Ghostbusters together, kind of worked out the story beats. We were given actually an early copy of the what was then the 2016 female version of Ghostbusters that they wanted us to model things after. And even at the time, I mean, bless their hearts, we kind of pushed back a little bit, knowing that we really wanted to provide the wish fulfillment, I think, of the old school Ghostbusters. And eventually, we actually got Dan Aykroyd in. And but yeah, it's this whole process that between my father and I, creating most of those experiences, actually. It's funny that I think the real secrets of magic are more less about the actual method to the individual tricks and more about the bigger things that happen behind the scenes. The fact is, when it comes to misdirection, which I think is the thing that a lot of people think of when they think of magic, it's a bit of a misnomer. People often think of misdirection as a distraction, when the truth is it's really just about guiding perception and guiding someone's perception away from one reality and towards another. You know, in the case of, something very simple, right? Let's say we're going to make like a ball float. I talk about this a lot, but if we're going to make a ball float, and let's say it uses strings. First step, I got to make those strings invisible so that you can't see them, okay? This is part of the physical misdirection side of it. Well, let's just find a super thin string or something and put a nice busy background behind it. And so now you can't quite see the string, but you do definitely see that ball in the air. So we've got that physical argument that says, hey, this is real, that's guiding your perception away from reality. But now we have to make a mental argument. And that mental argument is that, no, there isn't anything connected to this, strings or anything else. It is actually floating. And so we're going to pass a hoop around this ball or put the ball in like a big crystal box or whatever to do away with the concept that there are strings connected to it.
This is Mon Mothma. I have an assignment for you.
In magic itself, normally the hard part is the visual part. It's to make the thing look like the magic, right? In the case of our ball and string example, it's hiding that string. Like, there's a lot that goes into hiding that string. But in VR, of course, that's the easy part, which is the blessing and the curse. Because it's easy, you don't have to worry about it. It's just make a ball float. The hard part is the psychological part, where people don't just go, well, it's VR. Of course, anything can happen in VR. It doesn't matter. And so how do you create a strong enough argument that convinces them, like, no, that thing was actually like floating? And they're like, yeah, but it was VR. But they're like, no, but I could like feel it floating. And so you start leaning a lot on the psychological side of magic, using these principles of misdirection, as well as, frankly, just the basic principles of magic design.
And then you're left in a real conundrum, because it's like, well, your eyes don't see anything connected to it, and we've made the argument that there is nothing connected to it. Something impossible is happening. Sometimes that's an amazing feeling you get. Most people get this kind of this incredible feeling. They call it the moment of astonishment. For some people, it's fleeting. For other people, it's sort of lasting. To me, it's the ability to create that feeling that makes magic so wonderful. It's the kind of feeling you would have as a kid all the time, you know, Santa Claus or whatever. But it's something as an adult you sort of lose. And I like that being confronted with the impossible is something that I think is beautiful and worth sharing.
Curtis Hickman there, and the reporter was Louise McMahon. And Curtis Hickman's book is called Hyperreality, with a hyphen, The Art of Designing Impossible Experiences.